you don't mind, I would like to start with a prayer because I do speak for a living, but I speak about other things and not myself. And so it would be nice if I could just kind of have some time here to pray and just ask for wisdom throughout, okay?
Amen.
Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity to get together. Having all of these wonderful women here is just such a blessing, and being able to fellowship with them has been a tremendous help in my life over the last several years, this year in particular. Lord, I ask that you just help me to use your words come through, and that I'm able to speak them so that others can see what comfort you can bring and that only you can bring. I ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So I hope you're not too offended. I am a little on the fun side with this, and so hence cancer comedian. I do have cancer. If some of you recall, Pastor Byers read my testimony in April. And adenocystic carcinoma is the kind of cancer I have. There currently is no cure, but I do know that God works miracles. And so in the meantime, I'm just going to choose to live life and honor God as best as possible. And that has been done in large part because of all of you women here and so many of your husbands and family members. So I'm going to read, for the most part, from a prepared speech that I have. And I just hope that you can get a little something, a glimpse of what God can do when you really lean on him and him alone. So this has by far been the most challenging year for me, physically and emotionally, but not spiritually, because I have a pretty solid relationship when it comes to me and God. I know then, as I know now, that he can make all things come together for my good, just like Romans 8:28 tells us. However, not too long ago, this bit of news, my cancer diagnosis, could have shaken me to the core. I want to take you back to that time so that you can understand just how much of a hot mess I was and how he's taken me through it. I have always been quite the nervous Nelly. And if I'm honest when I say nervous Nelly, I mean completely irrational fear, whacked up kind of thinking. Ever since I was little, I have just convinced that something bad could happen, and it would happen if I wasn't prepared and ready for it. I really did let worry rule my life. For example, I was convinced that my sister, who had a heart murmur when she was younger, would stroke out during childbirth with my niece. She didn't, by the way. She went on to give me four wonderful niece and nephews. So there's all three of them. We've got Audrey, the oldest, and then there's Tom hiding under the blanket, Peter in the little car seat, and Philip. So they're all fine, and my sister's fine. Another example, I was certain that something could happen to my brother when he went on one of his scuba diving trips. So I made him call me before each trip with his itinerary. I needed to know his flight number, departure, arrival time, hotel, because, you know, there could be something that could happen. He likes to play with the fish down there and feed them. He could have stayed down too long, maybe missed the boat and the boat gone off. They make movies out of this, so I was certain it could happen. Okay? I mean, they don't just make movies out of anything. It could happen. In my mind. So, apparently everyone just kind of accepted this, that this is just how Beth was and that this is who she is. I didn't discover that until I got this for Christmas. The worst case scenario survival guide, extreme edition.
Extreme edition.
There was a reason. So, I kind of got a little hint. My parents got that for me one Christmas, and I thought, oh, you're so funny. That's cute. It wasn't until later that I really got it. I was at home enjoying a good book. I don't remember the title, but it was one of those beautiful days where you open up every window and you just curl up with a good book and you just read all day. And it was just gorgeous out. So I was doing that one day, just really enjoying everything. I did hear a couple of sirens going by, but I live right behind a fire station, so that was nothing new. I just kept on reading, enjoying the day as the breeze went through. But I got a phone call from my mom. And she says, Mark's right here. Don't worry about him. He's fine. And he said that your dad is too. My heart sank. What happened? I asked, I have no idea what you're talking about. She says, oh, we thought you'd be the first one to freak out. And I said, what are you talking about? And she proceeded to tell me about the job site where my brother, my dad, and my two uncles were working on I-394, had a bridge collapse. And somebody was trapped under, and it was quite a long ordeal. But, you know, thankfully I knew my family was okay, so I said, thanks for letting me know, I'll turn on the TV. And she said, no, that's the last thing you need to do. So, good call, Mom. She knew I'd be worrying and get more crazy into my head. So I hung up the phone and I said a prayer, thank you, thankful for letting my brother and family be okay. And I went back to reading, and I continued reading. And then I got another phone call, this time from my mom, my stepmom, Teresa. And she called and said, I just want to let you know that your dad's fine, your brother's fine, and your uncle's, nobody was in the accident. They're okay, but we just wanted to let you know because we knew you'd worry. And I said, oh, you know, mom called too. She thought I'd worry too. Thanks, you know, but I'm glad everything's okay. She said, well, it's not. Somebody did lose their life. And I thought, oh, I'm so sorry. So I hung up the phone, and I prayed for the family of the lost one. You know, that had to be incredibly hard. But I went back to reading, and I got another phone call. And this one was from my dad. Hi, hon. I just want to let you know I'm okay. Your brother's okay, and your uncles are all right. Everybody's okay. And I was like, okay, thanks. But really? Am I that bad? Do I really make you guys worry that you have to call me that much? Yeah. So, huh. I think we might have it. Maybe I finally realized I actually have a problem. Is it possible? So I thought about it. When else do I worry? If I hear of a car accident, I do tend to call my dad or my brother just to make sure they're okay. But, you know, that's just checking on them, making sure they're all right. And if my sister doesn't answer the phone, I will rapid fire call her cell phone and then email for her if she doesn't respond. But, again, that's just to make sure she's okay and that she's not dead in a ditch or, you know, in somebody's trunk because somebody stole her. Completely logical conclusions in my mind, right? Completely logical. And then there was that one time where I yelled at a friend, geez, pick a disease, why don't you? When she grabbed the hand railing of the escalator. Because I'm also a germaphobe. Let's just throw that in there because I don't have enough to worry about now. There's germs out there. So all these things put together and I realize, huh, maybe I am a bit of a nervous Nelly. How is it possible I got this way? I didn't have anybody speak the truth to me and how to handle situations. Don't get me wrong, I was a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. My papa was a deacon. We went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night. I remember Brother Frank Worthington standing at the top at the pulpit, you know, preaching about sin. And I knew, you know, 8 years old, I knew I was a sinner. And I knew I was wrong, and I asked for forgiveness, and I asked Jesus into my heart, and I was thankful for him. But I just still didn't have that one thing worked out about problems and trials and how do you deal with them. That still, it lingered with me. But I maintain living Christian life to the best of my ability, you know, follow along the way, make repent whenever I could. But I knew that there was still something not quite right. I haven't logically put it together. So almost 5 years ago, July 2009, I moved here to Lafayette, and I started attending Faith. And it was here that I finally had some teaching that explained on how to deal with trials. And I'm so thankful for it because it has truly helped me in this past year. I just wasn't happy with my life where I was back home. My friends at the time and I were having differing beliefs and goals and how to spend our time. My job wasn't that fulfilling. And I don't know that anybody likes literacy as much as me, but I think everybody should be fired up about it. So, yeah, that's how kids read. So there was a job opportunity here at Purdue, and I loved my home church, and I still do, and everybody there, but there weren't a lot of people my age to help me grow, and I really needed that. And so whenever the job opportunity came up, I jumped at it, and I came here, and it was really a leap of faith where I just thought, this is time for a change, and God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing. I started attending Faith within months of when I got here. I knew that the worship service was a bit different. They have a guitar up there. And drums, okay? Whoa, that was not what we were used to in my Southern Baptist church back home. But I enjoyed it, and I was moved. And it was no time at all before I realized these songs, and I really enjoyed it. I loved the teaching. Teaching was phenomenal. It really spoke to me, challenged me, convicted me, which I don't always like, but I need it. I need it. And so I started attending an ABF career class at the time, and I really enjoyed George Moore's teaching. And then Bev Moore invited me for a Bible study, and I went to the Bible study on a Sunday night, and I realized this can work. I think this is going to be me. I felt good about it. Well, it was at that Bible study, and again, I think it was about winter of 2009 or 10, when they were doing a Bible study on James McDonald's When Life Gets Hard, mm-hmm. Or When Life Is Hard. And I think Pastor Virus was also teaching a series of sermons in James at that time. And I was in awe. I had no idea then, and I still can't understand why. I didn't understand that even as Christians, you're still going to deal with bad stuff. I didn't get that until then. And going through both of those series really helped me understand that it's going to happen. But our sole goal during that time is to turn to Him, to lean on Him, to cling to Him and what He has to offer, because only He is the one that's going to carry you through this. And to open your ears and your heart and your mind to what you should learn out of it. And I had no idea that that's what you do. I thought you just worry, because worry makes it better. It does, and it gives you an ulcer. You don't feel good. So I really started to kind of open my eyes to this. Oh, okay, there's somebody else who can handle all of this. I don't have to be in control. And I still remember Bev Moore's answer to a question. I don't remember the question. I just remember somebody had asked a question, and Beverly says, "You're not on the throne." And I was like, yeah, I'm not. Why am I worried about this? I don't have to figure it out. He's got it. Beth doesn't have to have it. He's got it. He's in control. So that was just really refreshing for me. And again, I'm not sure why it took me so long to learn. Slow learner. I don't know. But I got it finally. You know, God's got this. Beth doesn't have to. Hallelujah. Particularly, there were two verses or a couple of verses that clicked for me. And that was James 1, 2 through 4. "Count it all joy, my brother, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Joy when you encounter troubles. That was hard for me to swallow, but then when you read the rest of it, you realize, so you get something from this, so you learn from that. There's a purpose. And Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose." Make no mistake here, I don't believe God gave me cancer. I want to make sure you understand that. Cancer, sickness, all of that came in as a result of the fall. But God is allowing this to work together for my good, and I know that. So it may be unpleasant, but there's going to be something, and I've learned so much through this, and I'm going to share a few of those things with you. I also did, at that time, a personal study on Nancy Lee DeMoss's A 30-Day Walk with God in the Psalms. If any of you have any issues with worry, concern, you know, fear, please consider doing that study book. It was wonderful for me. A 30-day walk with God in the Psalms. I just loved it. It really put me at peace. And everybody's different. Some people do the morning. Some people do the evening. I ended up finding out that right before bed, whenever I read the Psalms, I slept good. It was so comforting. I don't know. It really was. It was that first time and you just go into a great rest. So that was for me. That's what worked for me. So I really think that you should consider looking at that. And then another one, I don't know if I put this on here, yeah. The song, "Jesus, I Am Resting, Resting." I know that's awfully small and you can't see it, but, you know, jot that down, go back and look at those lyrics. I found a YouTube of it, and right after I was diagnosed, I started listening to that before bed, or any time worry crept in. Oh, comfort, you know? So I really, anything that's going to help you cling to God and to what His promises are, that's what I suggest. And so I really enjoyed that song. I find it, I still have it on my phone. I press play whenever. It's just comforting for me. And it prepared me for what I was about to endure. Because as you recall, I have adenocystic carcinoma. In the last year, I have undergone 3 surgeries, 4 if you count the feeding tube and port that was put in. Had 7 weekly chemo sessions and 34 rounds of daily radiation. It wasn't fun. I'm not going to lie to you. I have pictures of my skin basically peeling off. I won't share them with you. Don't worry. I'm fairly certain I smelled like burning flesh, but my dad says I didn't. I think he's a dad, though, and he would say anything to make me feel better. You know, the radiation burned through my tongue, and there was just hanging there. I was unable to swallow. I had to use the feeding tube. And in the past, that would have honestly, just leaning on people, was no. No, I don't do that. I got this. I take care of me. I don't need to lean on people. And this has really been a blessing. I know it sounds weird. It's been a blessing because I've realized you care. Not because you have to. You want to. People would contact me saying they would do my laundry. Who wants to do somebody else's laundry? Amen. You know, they don't want to do their own. but the fact that they're willing to come over and clean my house and do laundry, it's been a blessing in disguise. It truly has. I've learned how to trust people and lean on people in this. So I am thankful. The way I decided to deal with this is to learn how to have some fun. And so my first choice was to shoot the cancer. So A couple of my friends are they have a shooting range that they go to, and I decided, well, let's just write cancer on the board and go shoot it up. It made me feel better. It didn't change anything at all, but it made me feel better for that moment. But you can't do that all throughout all of life. So I had to have something else. So I started to have a little bit of fun with things. So I'm going to share some of that with you. I originally had, by the way, called my tumor Tawanda. Did you watch Fried Green Tomatoes?
Yes!
Yeah, right? I just love those women. Fried Green Tomatoes. So Tawanda, for some reason, before I actually knew it was a tumor, she had been with me so long. I named her. And it was just this lump under here, and I kind of thought I was being funny and didn't realize it was really Tawanda, the tumor, until I found out. But, you know, I think that finding the fun in it and making a little bit light of it, because, you know, spoiler alert, people, I know how this ends. I go to heaven.
Amen.
So, you know, if I'm going to have a little bit of fun here and there, this is what works for me. And I know that God has it set up. He's got it all figured out. I don't need to. So I just tried to keep it light and let other people know I'm at peace because I know where I'm going. So the first day I was diagnosed, the doctor tells me he thought he got everything out. The ENT thought he got everything out and that I would still need to follow up with some radiation and it was going to cause some sores and it was going to be hard to swallow and there would be weight loss. Whoop!
Okay now.
There was going to be weight loss. I know he wrote down she has mental issues, but again, it worked for me. So I had that little bit of a hope there was going to be weight loss. So you just take that little bad news of cancer diagnosis and you think weight loss. But in all honesty, after going home and you know letting this sit in and realize you have cancer and looking into it and Googling it, don't do that. I found out that it is an incurable kind of cancer. And that we don't know much about it. So that was a little bit scary. And I realized I needed to go back in and get what's called clean margins. But that meant finding a new surgeon who was familiar with this cancer, which, again, 1,200 people a year maybe get this. So it's very hard to find people. God's got this. Within 24 hours, my sister and mom, stepmom Teresa, both of them, not knowing it, had both located the one doctor in the state of Indiana who is familiar with adenocystic carcinoma, and he is the only one listed in the state of Indiana in Carmel, an hour away, about a mile away from my sister's house. God's at work on that, okay? God's at work on that. So I immediately knew, wow, you can't beat that. So I again, praise God, he knew what he was doing. And they did decide surgery was going to be a necessity a second time. So I had to go back in August of last year for another surgery. It was going to be a significant more scar. So I don't know if you can see. The first one was just a little 4-inch scar. Then the next one went from just below my ear down to about midway through. And then the third surgery I'll talk about here went from my ear down to the middle of my chin now. The biggest blessings here, though, in this surgery were my parents driving up from Tennessee to be with me for that week, and then my ABF enveloping me with love. Although I was able to take a bath and bathe myself, I couldn't wash my hair, though. I cannot not wash my hair, people, okay? There's a line. There's a line that has to be drawn with not washing your hair. At the time, I had this wonderful sink, though, that I could lay on, so my dad was able to come and wash my hair for me while I was laying on the sink, and Teresa had taken a picture. I don't think I have this one. It was in the Pastor Virus. I shared that one. But having people to be able to take care of me, doing things that I couldn't do suddenly that are everyday things. So that was a blessing. And like I said, my ABF, I had just recently, like literally a couple of months before, joined Joe and Susan Blake's Foundations class, ABF. And they didn't allow a single opportunity for me to worry about anything. Food, cards, prayers, scripture. I was getting text messages throughout the day, just beautiful scriptures. Here, think on this. And that is what helped me. Having those moments where you look down at your phone and you realize, you're right. They send you Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're right. He's got it. I don't have to, remember? So having those moments come back and just looking down and knowing that people are praying for you ongoing was such a blessing. Again, having those meals prepared for my family because I mean, I wasn't able to eat much, but my parents were there, and having that was just, again, amazing. So I'm so thankful for those memories, and again, whenever I have a moment where I'm feeling down, I just think to how loved I am, and I don't deserve it, but it's happening, and every day, just feeling more and more love from everybody, and I'm so thankful for that. After this decision, though, there was another after this surgery, there was a difficult decision to make, whether or not to do chemo and radiation. Post-operative scans showed that my lungs were clear. Hallelujah. The three likely places for this to distant metastasize to is your brain, liver, and lungs. And those seem to be fine. And yeah, and then out of the 23 lymph nodes that were removed, only 8 of them showed disease. So it hadn't gone that far. So at that point, we thought not to do radiation and chemo because I might need that as a second line of defense later. Chemo doesn't cure this. Doesn't affect it, and radiation doesn't. Together, there was a chance that maybe it might do a little bit of work at slowing things down, and I just kind of saw this in phases. Again, I'd done enough reading to understand my life is going to be a series of surgeries and treatments. I know that. It may be 5 years. It may be 10 years. I don't know. God does. So I just had to pray and trust that whatever decision I made was going to be the right decision. So with lots of counsel from Melissa Malding, Susan Blake, Trisha Folden, lots of people speaking truth into my ear, I was at peace knowing not to do that first round of chemo and radiation. That was a blessing because although there was a recurrence this winter, I went back in for scans, and there was a recurrence. I had some more cancer that had come back. It had spread. And turns out that that wasn't the original tumor that was taken out, that there was a much larger, deeper tumor that was inside that they just didn't see because the scans hadn't gone up high enough. And while they went, before I even had a chance to say, oh, no, I should have done the treatment, my surgeon says, I want to tell you you made the right decision not to have treatment before. Had you done any kind of radiation or chemo, it would have had so much scar tissue in your facial nerves that I couldn't have gotten around with them without severe damage. That was peace. That was peace because you don't know if you make the right decision. You hope. But to have a surgeon before you can have the thought, that was what I thought was a kicker. I'm like, God, you're at work again. Before I could have the thought, he said, you made the right decision because I couldn't get in there. And it's going to be tricky enough as it is. So I am blessed beyond belief that the scar tissue wasn't too substantial that he could get in there, and he was able to get even stronger, taken out. But at the moment that he gave the diagnosis, you know, and said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to go back in, you know, I said, okay, you know, I was prepared for this. And he said, you are a tough bird. You are handling this. That's where I got to share my faith again and say, God's got this. I have a very strong faith. And I knew it was a 50-50 chance coming in. It was going to be one way or the other, right? So getting upset about it doesn't change it. Having faith does. So being able to share with my surgeon that faith and his nurse, Tofi, you know, when they both come in, I know that they know that I'm okay. That they can be honest with me and they can share information with me because I've got a higher power who's going to take care of me. He's the great physician. So after this surgery, I had another. The third surgery, which turned out to be quite the doozy, and it also turned out to be on the same weekend of the blizzard in January. Why not? Let's just have a little fun with that. Yeah? Let's have a little fun. How about that? Monday, January 6th, why don't you have surgery when they shut down I-65? Not a problem. So, by God's grace and Brent Open's prayers before we got on the road, literally, we pulled into Meijer at 8:30. We were getting gas, and Brent Oakland calls it to pray over us, and I'm telling Dad, get in the car, and he prays for us, and we get on the road. 20 minutes later, they close I-65. We were already on the road heading down to Indianapolis. God at work. God got my surgeon there on time. A lot of other people had canceled, and surgeries were canceled. I was able to get in there. I was able to have my surgery, and I'm just so amazed that Sunday before surgery, church was canceled, if you remember. We actually had we had the option, no ABFs, and then they had one service they were live streaming because we wanted everyone to be safe. My ABF still insisted on having prayer for me. coming upstairs into that room and having everybody in that room lay their hands on me and truly pray for safety for my parents who are driving up from Tennessee, and then for us to turn around and get down there the next day. They braved a storm, brought their families out in the storm to pray for me, and they didn't have to do that. They could have just sent me a text, God's with you.
Yeah.
They came and prayed for me, and I'm so thankful. I will never forget that feeling, and seeing the children that they brought. They witnessed something there, true love. And I'm thankful for that. Everybody got there. Everybody was fine. We were able to turn back around and have the surgery on Monday. God worked a miracle. And there were some complications. It was a much longer surgery than anticipated. And there was a lot more cancer in there. I woke up unable to talk, unable to swallow, because the cancer had wrapped around my tongue. So, bless my surgeon. You know, they had that moment. He said, I didn't know what to do. Do we take your tongue? You're too young. I don't know what to do. And he said, so we just sat there and we scraped the heck out of it. So they pulled my tongue and just scraped for a couple of hours. They scraped through here and down through. They did have to sever my lip nerve, which is why I have a little bit of a lisp now, and it's not going to grow back. And that's fine because I'm alive.
Amen.
I'm alive. I can talk. It took time, but I'm okay. So I know that those were difficult decisions for them, and I'm thankful for, again, the prayers that went out to those surgeons that said, God, give them the wisdom on making the right decisions. Who knows what you having to deal with that kind of a decision. I feel for my doctors. I do. It's hard for them. My mom, she says, I feel so bad when he comes in to talk to us. He just looks so sad, and it breaks my heart. Praying for them is the only thing that makes me feel better about the difficult decisions that they have to have. So a really neat, blessing throughout that surgery. Although I had to stay in the hospital a little bit longer than anticipated, and the surgery was much more extensive. There was a lot of facial nerve initially. When it was time for me to sleep that first night, the nurse comes in with tape to tape my eyes shut. I was like, whoa. Going on here. I didn't sign up for that. And she's like, oh, your eye doesn't close. And I said, yeah, it does. Look. I'm winking. And she looks at her chart. And she says, oh, they were having troubles with getting it to close when you were in surgery. They expected me not to be able to close my eye. God performed a miracle. I know what the numbers say. I know what the doctors are anticipating. I know what statistics say. He said, yeah. He let me sleep. He let the eye close. It didn't need to be taped down. It didn't need to be anything major done. And it was, again, fun to watch that nurse. That's not right. But it is. I got a lot of people up there praying for me. And prayer works. I don't care what you say. Prayer works. Look, it works. So I am just eternally grateful for being able to share what happens whenever something happens against what they're anticipating. It's really awesome to say, oh, I know why. Let me tell you. Because my God can fix it. So fast forward 6 weeks later, I'm healing very well. And in fact, my surgeon in that last surgery, he decided he didn't like my scar. He took it out and didn't like how it looked. So he was going to, make it a little bit better. And I thought, whatever, I'm alive. You know, I'm thankful. But I'm telling you what, it looks good. He knew what he was doing. I mean, now feel free. I'll come up and show you. It looks good. He knew what he was doing. So I'm thankful. You know, I'm a fairly vain person, I have to admit. You know, I'm a girl. I like to look decent. But after this, I was like, whatever. Well, once I saw what he did, I thought, man, he is looking out for me. It does look good. So I'm just truly blessed by what he was able to do. So 6 weeks later, I have healed, and it's time for chemo and radiation. And I decided go ahead to go with the chemo and radiation because phase one, just surgery. Phase two, surgery with chemo and radiation. That's where I'm at right now. So I knew that was going to be happening, and I knew I needed to stay positive because that's the only way that works for me. I like to be happy. I don't want to be a negative Nancy. I need to be positive. Okay, it keeps me going. So I had to make a conscious effort at that time. And I know around Thanksgiving time on Facebook, people put their thankfuls. And, you know, today I'm thankful for, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if I put my thankful throughout this treatment? So I decided February, being that it was, my birthday is in February, I was going to be starting chemo and radiation, and I just wanted people to see that you can be happy. You can find thankfuls in the worst of circumstances. And mine weren't even the worst, let's be honest. There could be a lot worse. But I wanted that to be able, people to be able to say, oh, why? And I could say, oh, let me tell you. So I got this guy. God can take care of it all, so I don't have to. I have a Savior. I don't need to worry about it. It was just a great witnessing opportunity. And I wanted people to be able to see that. And so my first thankful, early enough in the month, before I even started treatment, I had to have a feeding tube and a feeding tube because it was going to be hard to eat. And so that would have been my fourth surgery. I went in on that day to have a pre-op appointment, and the doctor says, you know, we should really get you a port as well so we can stop sticking you in the arm and you can have take your chemo in that way. I said, that is fine as long as you can get it done in 2 hours, because I have a surgery in 2 hours, and I'm not going under anesthesia again, because that would be 4 times in 7 months. I didn't think that my body could handle it. So by God's grace, he took an already packed surgery schedule and arranged for me to be able to have one extra procedure done in there so I could get the port and the feeding tube in the same day, in one surgery. Hallelujah. And that was my first thankful on February. Thank you, Lord, for having that happen, because it's a big deal when you go in for surgery and you have to come out all wacky. Yes. And I can't handle it. I don't do well with it. Do I, Sherry Cole? She picked me up. So bless her. I still don't know how I got to Melissa's, but I got there. But I truly am thankful for making that happen so quickly. So God's grace, he made it happen. Another thankful that I wrote shortly thereafter came from my sister. My sister had arranged for me. Do I have a picture of my sister? Oh. My sister had arranged for me to have in the lower left-hand picture, one of those neck pillows. And I had a blanket and lozenges. She sent me a cancer goodie bag. And I have this bag that has my handprints of my niece and nephews on it that says, best aunt ever. There is so much comfort going into a scary, cold place where you're going to be stuck with a needle and sit there for 4 hours. And you can't have family back there. It's just you by yourself. Yeah. And I'm going to be honest. I brought the median age down about 20 years. Okay? I was the youngest person in that room, but I went in with a smile with my bag. And I picked the biggest recliner because I got there early. I got the biggest recliner. I put my neck pillow on. I put my headset on. And I leaned back. And I got chemo. That's how you do it. You chemo. I made it a verb. I'm chemoing. So Michelle Hardy, Yackley now, if any of you recall her, she had sent me Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. And so that was something that I had tried to start reading while I was there. And I had the best of intentions, but they give you Benadryl. I don't know how you react to Benadryl, but for me, it's a little something like, I was out. And then the first time the nurse says, it's time for nap time. And I thought, well, what do you do? What do you make me, do we turn on the lights? What are we doing? I didn't know what was going on. And she said, oh no, Benadryl. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it is so different when it goes in your body. Like it starts dripping in and you're out. So you did, you got a nice little nap, afternoon nap. It was quite enjoyable, frankly. I was blessed that I was not going to have the major side effects because it was low-dose chemo. And low-dose chemo means that I won't lose my hair. I wasn't severely nauseous. The radiation had different side effects, but I truly, again, can say I was blessed because I'm a 35-year-old woman. I want hair.
Amen.
You know? And he allowed me to be able to keep it this time around, and I'm thankful for that. I don't know that that's always going to happen, but right now he did, and I'm thankful for that. So I'm truly blessed for this. So as I continue on with my treatment, I got through, I think, week 3, and I was arrogant. There's no other word to describe it. I'm like, this is nothing. You gotta complain about nothing. This is fine. You don't have any problems. Chemo, radiation, I got this. Wrong! The end of week 3 coincided with the women's retreat over at Faith West, right? And all of a sudden, I had these mouth sores, and I was not able to swallow. It hurt so bad, I couldn't even call my doctor. Melissa had to call my doctor for me and ask for help to get me some kind of a pain medicine, which, FYI, they don't give you on the weekends, apparently.
Oh.
Guess you should have read all the signs in the doctor's office that say, please make sure you have your pain meds before the weekend. So I had to kind of tough it out that weekend. Fortunately, because it was at the women's retreat, God again, he made sure that Melissa could share the information with some of the other ladies, and they prayed for me. I truly felt that little bit of a release of pain. It didn't go away, but it was just tolerable enough that you know he was at work on my behalf. I know it. And there's, again, no excuse for that other than he took care of it. It was amazing. I was just blessed. So by Monday, I was able to go back to the doctor. Actually, it was that Monday that they called and said, I'm terribly sorry, but your machine that you get your radiation on is down. And we're not going to give you radiation today. And my first instinct was, I can't take another day and tack it on at the end now. That's going to make it longer. But God thought, you need a day to heal. That's an extra day to heal. And it's an extra day for you to go in and see the doctor to get that pain medicine. So I went in. I got a little topical thing that you swish around in your mouth. And that worked, seemed to work okay for a couple of days. And then they started to go away. My sores started to go away. And it was really funny to hear this doctor say, that's not supposed to happen. I know why.
Yeah.
I got a lot of people praying for me. And I think God's up there going, all right, I'll give her a break.
Yeah.
Goodness. Because they went away. They're not supposed to. They did for me. And again, I'm not making this about me. It was his work. He did what medically was not supposed to happen. Again, I love it. I love it. So I was just, you know, blessed to be able to say, here's what my doctor said, and here's what really is happening. I just love that. So as time went on with my treatments, they did get a little bit more wearing. I got tired. It's really hard to explain the level of exhaustion that you have. And it got harder to eat and drink. So I was going to have IV treatments to get fluids to just keep me hydrated enough to continue on with treatment. And my doctor, oncologist, was so great to be able to arrange for me to have them done at the hospital on the weekends because they needed them on the weekends. And my immune system was so shot anyways, I couldn't come to church anymore, but I could do Faith Live. Show of hands, Faith Live, right? Hey, I love it. So I'm in my little room at St. Elizabeth. I've got my iPad, and I'm asking the nurse what's my, you know, security password to get on. I set it up, and she's going through all the questions that nurses ask, you know, age, diagnosis, all that kind of stuff. And she says, you know, I am really surprised by how you're handling this. And I said, look, I shared with you. I said, I know where I'm going. I have a deeply strong faith. I know that this is just right now, a short time. It's just a little while. It's going to change. It will pass. And I know that on the other side of it, I'm going to learn great things about this. She teared up. I teared up. I showed her about Faith Live so she could have her other patients look at it later. And I just sat back for a couple of hours. I had my milkshake or my Starbucks, and I watched Faith Live, and I was still encouraged by the message. And to be able to have that and feel a little normal, because Sunday I go to church, I get to worship, I get to hear a message, to me that just gave me that little bit of a normalcy again. And so it was something I needed and something that God provided for me. I'm thankful. So weeks 5, 6, and 7 of my treatment and the week following were really tough. I thank God for my family. They came up and they were able to take care of me. My stepmom spent some time up here taking care of me. My sister-in-law spent her spring break. She's a teacher. She came up to spend time with me and help take care of me. But my dad's a bomb. My dad, here I am resting and then getting some of the transfusion one day. My dad took care of me for 3 weeks. He just took off work and came up to take care of me for 3 weeks. And I cannot tell you a blessing that is, because I needed people that I could just be vulnerable with. That I could just, you know what? I coughed, and as a result of coughing and how swollen my throat is, what I just put down the tube came right back up. And now I got more laundry, and I don't have the energy to do it. So, you know, my dad would do it for me. And they were able to keep my apartment clean and just take care of me because I couldn't take care of myself. And I'm so thankful for that. I just am amazed by it. I had a really hard time with the feeding tube. It was just, for me, more psychologically challenging than chemo and radiation, because you eat with your mouth. You don't pour it in a tube and let it sink in, and then you just didn't feel right. It was not natural. So you have to eat. There's nothing to eat. You just pour. And you know, you get to, you're so tired that the thought of sitting there and holding a can, and you have to have 5 or 6 of them a day, and it just, it took time, and I didn't like doing it, and my dad had to make me. And you don't not do what your dad says. I don't know about you, but if my dad tells me you got to do it, I'm going to do it. So I needed him there to do it, because otherwise I'd be like, yeah, I'm good. No, I feel fine. But I wasn't, and he knew me. So he arranged time for my family to have off from work. That during difficult time for all of them, God arranged time, 3 weeks of time for my dad, a week for my sister, just so happened to be at her spring break, another week that my mom could come up. It's God working here and arranging this for me. I'm beyond thankful. So as treatment progressed, so did the pain. Here again, I saw God. When it was truly unbearable, and I refused pain meds for a really long time because I'm hard-headed and I was afraid I would become addicted, I think, I was able to just text friends and say, please pray for me. I need you. And I would see people going up throughout Facebook saying, I'm praying for you now. I'm looking, you know, I'm praying. I'm letting these people know. I've had people across multiple states praying for me. You feel it. You feel people praying for you. And you are suddenly just in this bubble, taken care of. I'm just beyond grateful for it. And I remember getting so bad that I said, Dad, you just got to pray over me. I just can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I need you to pray. And he came over, and I'm laying on the couch, passed out again, you know, or not passed out, just in pain, agony. And it was on a weekend, so you can't get any pain medicine. And he says, you know, prayed for me. And again, just it relieved it just enough to where I was able to rest and get in a good chunk of sleep that I had not been able to get in before. I didn't take anything. It was prayer. So when people say the power of prayer or pray for me, do it. I can't tell you how much it impacts that person. So pray for people. It's good. I did end up going into the doctor that last, I think it was week 6, and the doctor intervened and said, you have to have some pain medicine now. You're not healing because you're shaking from the pain. And so I finally, you know, said, okay, you know, I'll take it. At that point, I was like, I think I need something. So I finally did get a little bit of the pain medicine. I listened, agreed to the blood transfusion, which really was a turning point for me. I needed fresh blood in me that wasn't beat up. And that really did help me. It was a long process, but after that, I truly can say, I'm thinking of 1 Peter, it tells us about rejoicing, even though for a little while we endure trials, because it's just going to be a little while. I could count down like a calendar, 8 more days, 7 more days, 6 more days. I knew it would pass, and I knew he would get me through it. There was no doubt in my mind that he was going to drive the bus. I didn't have to. He's got it. So I kept trying to remember those verses, and I've shared a couple with you on here because those are the verses that really I clung to, that people were sending to me. However, during this little while, I also had to move. It was really bad timing. But I had to move from one apartment to a townhouse, which I needed because I did need more room because in more bathrooms I was going to be having people staying with me and helping me. So my ABF and my dad stepped up like nothing else. My dad said I couldn't do anything, and so I had to just sit there. And so I sat on the couch where everybody else did everything for me, and I felt awful. But I had 16 sweet souls. At one point I looked, 16 people from my ABF had come over to help me move. I was moved in an hour and a half. And not just moved, unpacked. My kitchen was packed. Wendy, Mel Miller, my kitchen was unpacked. I was ready to go. That night when it was time for me to go to bed and I climbed those stairs, I went into my bedroom. It was completely unpacked and put away. Carrie sits, I had unpacked even my drawers. I could go in, slide open my drawer and get my PJs. I didn't have to do it. They took care of me like I've never been taken care of. I love my parents. They take care of me too. Don't get me wrong. But in that adult setting, to not be able to have, I'm blessed by them. Having them come in and take care of me, this ABF has just been phenomenal. Recovery has been a slow process and is still ongoing. I did have to go to speech therapy for a few weeks to relearn how to eat and swallow by mouth. so that they could remove the feeding tube, which is my sole goal in life at that point. Get it out. And they did. It took me about 2 weeks to prove that I could do it. But fortunately, I was able to get the tube removed because the doctors agreed it was time for me. And I'm regaining energy day by day. I still have some side effects, and I probably will for another 6 to 9 months, but it's nothing that I can't handle because, again, I know that God is there with me. He's got this. I'm just going to be a little while longer, and I'm grateful for this. Throughout this trial, I have chosen to focus on God and His plan for me, not my own plan, which has been hard. I'm not going to lie to you and say that I'm not worrying anymore. My sister-in-law just had her baby. Go back and leave that there. My sister-in-law just had her baby, my first niece for my brother, and on Thursday. And there was a moment where I got scared because they didn't respond in a timely enough manner. But I did not rapid fire them, okay? I did not call every number and email them. I consider that a growth, you know? I mean, yay. I waited, but I did go up and see them yesterday, and they're doing fine. I don't know what's going to happen. I do know that there's no cure. I know tomorrow I go in for blood work. On Tuesday, I meet with my oncologist. On August 13th, I have a new set of scans. I don't know what's going to happen for any of that. I know what statistics say. Well, what happened with those statistics before, right? He's worked already on my behalf. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to anticipate because He's going to do what He's going to do, and it's going to be for my good. I know that. And as long as I trust that, I can be okay. So I don't know what anybody would do without that hope. And when I walk into those doctor's offices, I like to do so with the biggest smile on earth because I may be a cancer patient, but God's got this. And it's a great opportunity for me to be able to shine what He can do and that hope that only He can give you. And I hope that you all can have that hope. Here are some verses if you wanted to jot some down that I find to be really helpful. And I think that's all I have. Thank you.